What's up, everybody? Welcome to Mission Possible. Yes, that's right. On this show, we are going to be looking at some of the ways the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission helps the community. There's some things have gotten lost in the shuffle throughout the years that we're going to try to help clear up and explain a little more about what it is the mission does, how we help the men that come through our doors, men and women that come through our doors, and the things that we can do to use you to help our men and women as well. My name is Patrick. I am the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission Supervisor, and I am joined by our Superintendent, Pastor Tim.
Hey, greeting to everybody out there. Thank you. Thank you so much, especially for those that are our financial and prayer partners. We cannot do it without you. Our church partners, our individuals, and our corporations that support us on a regular basis. Again, we cannot do it without you. We receive no government funding. All your donations of product and finances and prayers has blessed this mission 10 times over. And we can't, every day we're thankful for you. And we're here this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about, and we're going to spend the next couple shows that we're going to put together of what the mission really is here to do. What is our purpose compared to a lot of the things that people believe what we're here for? If I was asked this question, and I ask it many places I go and speak, what is the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission's purpose? Our purpose, that from written from 1960, the rescue mission's purpose is to fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. And those scriptures read, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." That is the rescue mission's purpose. That is our purpose here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. Everything we do comes under that umbrella, that purpose, those scripture verses. That's vital. It's important for people to understand. Yes, we do house, we shelter, we do feed, we do clothe. We do a lot of things here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. But our purpose is to make disciples of those that walk in our doors. We have now added certain tools into our tool belt to make this happen. We do house on a men right now currently, and we're in the stage of the feasibility and study stage to take the two buildings next door that we have to look at to do family transitional emergency housing. We're in the stage of looking at that and getting that possibility of ministry in the future. We're also we clothe people. People, we have a voucher system. People come in. We fed 66,000 meals last year. So far for January this year, we've almost fed 6,000 meals. Correct. For January. We house men here every night. We can house up to 85 men. We now have a discipleship track program. We did four classes last year, four or five. This year already we've got two, and we got a third one starting up in a couple weeks. We also now are going to be starting a literacy lab. Last night we assessed over 10 men last night, and we're in the process of assessing two more men. And those 12 men will start our literacy class next month, because it's important that we give the men the tools of reading, writing, and comprehension so they can learn and read and understand and how to become a disciple of Christ. It's important that we give them the life skills to go forward. If we're going to make disciples, we want to make the best. Our job here, as it says, and then we have the vision. The vision of the rescue mission here is to disciple men by equipping and educating and empowering them to be Christ-like disciples, therefore returning to the local church and community as productive members of society. The three E's, you know, you're going to make a disciple. You want to equip them, you want to educate them, and you want to empower them. We want to equip them, and that is giving them the skills and the life skills they need to read, to write, to comprehend. We also want to equip them to make them job employable, and many of them, we're going to talk about that in a couple of shows from now. about our employment ministry program that we have here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. We want to educate them. We want to educate them in the scriptures. We want to educate them to be Christ-like disciples. We want to transform their thinking, and we're going to talk about that as part of our mission values. That will be a show we're going to talk about. It is vital that we educate them, and then third, empower them to leave the mission, to go out, to have the confidence to go out and fail. And you're going to say, well, that don't make sense. Why would you give them confidence to go out and fail? Because my parents equipped me, educated me, and empowered me. So when I turned a certain age, I left home. Not because I wanted to leave home because I didn't like where I was raised in. I left home with the confidence to conquer the world. Did I fail? Yeah, many times. But I had the confidence that my parents would always be there to support me, and my family would be there to lift me up and encourage me. And if I fell to where I couldn't succeed on my own, they'd come alongside me and help me. We do that here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. When we empower people to go out, some of them go out and for a time, they stumble and fall and they come back. We receive them with open arms.
Absolutely.
We bring them back in. We help them overcome those issues that helped them, that made them stumble and fall. Again, we equip, we educate, empower, and send them back out. For some, it might take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. For others, it might just be one time. But that is our goal here. That's our vision. And then our slogan is Hope Lives Here. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But let's go back up to fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Let's talk a little bit about the scriptures there. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How do we accomplish that here, Patrick?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways. The first is through our chapel program. Every day, Monday through Friday from 12:15 and at 7:25, we have churches who volunteer their time to come in and give the men the word of God. I mean, I think that's the base way to do it. You have to have the foundation of the Bible in order to become a disciple. You have to know the Bible and be taught the Bible. And then the second way, which is the way you have mentioned, is through our discipleship track and our discipleship class program. It's been such a blessing to hear the teachers coming out saying the men are really participating, the men are really enjoying this, and that's what we want.
Share a little bit about the class. The class is not just where they get preached at.
Oh, absolutely not.
Get materials.
It's an interactive class. They get a textbook, they get a workbook, and we're working through Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God, right, is one of the classes, and I think we're going to be starting in a couple weeks. We're going to be revving up John MacArthur's 12 Ordinary Men as the other class, and it's they get hands-on. There's thought-provoking assignments is how I like to put it. It's not simply just knowing the facts and dates, but how can you apply this to your life? How do you see yourself in these situations?
Right, and as it talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit, when someone comes to Christ here at the mission, we then connect them with a church.
Absolutely.
And then the church does the baptizing, and the church does all that. We don't do that here because we're not a church.
Right.
You know, but we encourage them, and we do have local churches that will take our men through baptism, do the teaching on baptism, and encourage that to take place, and also for them to be part of a church.
Yeah, and we have so many churches within walking distance of us. We're in a great location because of that fact that we don't. Sometimes a church will provide our men rides. Yeah. I mean, we've had churches that do that. But we also are lucky to be in an area that we have at least 10 churches right here within walking distance. And what I will tell a man when he says, "I want to start getting connected to a church," go visit a couple.
Yep.
Did you go walking on a Sunday morning and visit a couple of them and see what you're comfortable with, and then get involved. Don't just go to it, but get involved with it, because that's how you're going to learn and grow as a disciple.
Because we're not the church.
A
lot of people have a misconception about the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. We're not the church. We're not a church. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit 501c3 religious organization. We're not the church. We're an extension of the church. We come alongside the church, extending the opportunity of ministering to the homeless and to those in low income and those that are deal with addictions and brokenness. We're the extension. That's why we are. That's why we need to partner with churches. Churches, we don't get a government check.
Right.
We never, in 60 years, we do not receive government funding, not a dime from the government. So it's churches, individuals, corporations, businesses. I mean, that's where we receive our funding. That's where we receive our partnerships, our prayers, everything from. And that's who we partner with. But we don't compromise on what our purpose is. And that is at Matthew 28:19-20. Now, how we go about fulfilling that is different methods. Like we have a discipleship class here. And the classes run anywhere minimum from 2 hours to 3 hours.
Correct.
As Patrick said, they're interactive. The classes are interactive where the teacher gets to teach and then ask questions, and the students get to ask questions, and the teacher gets to see where the students are at. Each student is in a different part of journey in their spiritual journey, and they're growing. And it's a great opportunity, as it says there in the scriptures. It says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then it says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Well, not only we go the therefore make disciples, because that means evangelism, preaching, but that also means teaching.
Right.
And then it drops down a couple more verses there, and again, it reemphasizes the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The key is here is that we're constantly teaching the life skills from the scriptures to the transformation of the thinking, as it says in Romans 12:1-2, and also the servant leadership, that these men are transformed, and we are going to eventually open up our classes to the community, because we have a vast amount of people that surround the mission that have no church.
Right.
They don't go to church anywhere. Mm-hmm. Haven't been. Many families are growing up and have never donned the door of a church except for food.
Mm-hmm.
Food, shelter, again, yes, we house and we feed, but they're tools of what are to build a bridge of relationship. Through the feeding and through the housing, we build relationship. Through the employment, through the clothes vouchers, through the counseling, the many hours of counseling that we meet with people in our office, counseling them. Through the other class programs, we got a RU program that's going to start up here.
Yes.
At the Mission.
Mm-hmm.
We got another recovery program here at the Mission. Because we want to address all the issues of the whole person, not just teaching them the Bible, but also teaching them how to read, write, and comprehend, so they can succeed in life. They can become employable. They can get a job. They can succeed. They can get out. They can support themselves. They can support a family. They can support the community. They can support a church.
Mm-hmm.
We want to pour these men back into churches to where they would then be a blessing to those churches. They would be contributors instead of takers. And then we also want to empower our folks, you know, with the addiction issues of drugs and alcohol, that they have something to fall back on. Scripturally, they have a community of men and women, those that are struggling with the same addictions, that they can go to and overcome instead of going back to.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about, you know, here in our vision statement, to disciple men by equipping, educating, and empowering them to be Christ-like disciples, therefore returning to the local church and community as productive members of societies. Share with us a little bit about yourself, how you now have contributed back.
Sure. I mean, when I first came to the Mission, and a lot of people have heard my story, I walked in as a guest. I walked in through, you know, went through the program, and now I've for, I guess, 5 years now, have been a member of Rosemont Grace Brethren Church, was a deacon for 3 years down there. Still, I'm on their audiovisual team and do all their social media things. I'm also, you know, here at the Mission, I've been able to become a more integral part of the day-to-day operations of the online presence that we do, things along those lines. And I honestly don't know where I would be without going through the program. Now, the program has shifted and changed since I came in, and it's gotten to a different level, but I, you know, being in a place where I'm able to hear God's word every day, I'm able to network with pastors, and I'm able to say, you know, hey, I need help with this. I'm just me personally, I have started going back to school, and I'm working towards an associate's degree with the eventual goal of a bachelor's degree in biblical studies. Maybe counseling involved in there. We're still working that out. But I would not be able to do that if it wasn't for the mission. If it wasn't for the missions, you know, having the foundation there to know that I have the confidence enough to go back and do it. You were talking about equipping people, or equipping the men with confidence to fail. And I like how you put that, because we have to understand we're going to fail.
Yes.
It's from a movie or something, I don't know, and it's probably seen it 1,000 times. It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get up.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for our men to do. You know,
and yes, it's how you get up.
And it's how you get up as well.
You can get up and not go forward. It's how you get up. You get up, you shake off the dust, and you surround yourself with people that are going to, again, give you that chance and equip you to go forward. Not get up and surround yourself with people that are going to keep you from going forward.
One of the things I always ask our guys, and you ask me this a lot as well, is what's next?
It's
that idea of there might be a roadblock in where you want to be, but what's the one thing you can do today to move closer to removing that roadblock? Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do with each one of our guys. What's next? What's one thing you can do today that you can move forward with where you want to be?
And equipping, when we're going to talk about that, and empowering, is part of one of our five values. One of our five values is transformation.
Right.
And that comes out of Romans 12, 1 through 2. Because as Patrick's talking about what's next and going forward and picking yourself up and going forward, it's the transformation of the mind. Because, and I'm not into all this positive thinking stuff. I think it's great and that's wonderful. But I there's a lot of flaws to that if you don't have Christ in your life. Transformation, according to the scriptures, is how you react. It's how you went from I'm a reactor to now I'm a responder. Reaction is when somebody pushes your buttons and you react. When you're going through transformation, as Paul talks about in many places in the scriptures, it's a transformation of your behavior, your thinking, how you respond to situations previously that you reacted to. For example, with our men, a lot of our men deal with anger, and anger is a huge issue among men that are coming in and coming in brokenness. They're angry, they're bitter, they're resentful. They even come in with the victim mentality. Mm-hmm. And I stress over and over again to these guys, you're not a victim. You're thinking, as the Bible says in Proverbs, what a man thinks he is. So it's called stinking thinking. If you're going to be stinking, then you're going to be, I mean, if you're going to be stinking thinking, then that's what you're going to be. You're going to be stinking. And you got to change the thinking in the sense of, Jesus Christ died for me. He died for me. Here's the only so-called God that's out there. You know, Buddha didn't die for anybody. Krishna didn't die for anybody. All these other so-called gods, these Baals, didn't die for anybody. Jesus Christ is the only one that died, that gave his life so that we would have life. That in itself is so powerful because, as the Bible says, you know, to lay down your life for another man, that's the ultimate sacrifice. That's what's called agape love, where you're willing to give up your life for someone that doesn't deserve it. And that's where we're covered by grace. And these men, we have to instill that in them because they come in with so much anger and bitterness and resentment and failure that the society and the world has told them they're no good. We have to tell them, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Yeah, you're going to stumble and fall. But now that you're a new person in Christ, the Bible says the old man is gone, the new man. It's a constant journey of the mind transforming into a Christ-like disciple. When I fail, as Peter did, Jesus gave him a chance to turn it back.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And all along the way, Peter was reminded and still made mistakes. That he was in Christ and that the mistakes he made, he could overcome through repentance, forgiveness, and going forward. What's next? And we have to instill that in our guys every day because 20, 30 years, it's been some longer than that, it's been instilled in their head that they're no good, that they're failures, they'll add up to nothing. Society considers them throwaway and coming here to the mission. That's not the case.
Well, and that kind of transitions into what our motto is.
Yes.
When you see hope lives here. And one of the things I like to tell people when I'm out speaking about the mission is as soon as people or an individual who is, like you're saying, has been told by society, you're no good, you're worthless, whatever. We want that individual, as soon as they step foot through our door, to get the feeling that this is a place where you can start. This is where your hope begins. No matter what society has told you before, when you walk through our doors, we care about you. We want to have that relationship with you, and we want to help you if you're willing to help yourself. And that's the key components to it.
Hope lives here. That model comes out of the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11.
Yep.
You know, Israel was in captivity, and the Lord is telling them to seek him, that he'll bring them out of captivity, but they have to seek him. And he goes, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And this is vital, that he's speaking to them, saying to them, "I love you. I want to give you a new future, a new hope. You know, you're in bondage right now. You got in bondage through the sins and through the mistakes you've made. But I'm still your God. I still love you. I'm here with you in your brokenness. But I want to take you from brokenness and make you whole again." Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying here. And that's what Jesus Christ, when he came and died for our sins on the cross, he came, as the Bible said, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short. You know, the Bible says the price of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ. Basically, again, as in the Old Testament, God is saying, "I'm here with you in your brokenness. I love you. I created you. And you've turned away from me, but now you can turn back to me. And again, I'll take you and make you whole again and fulfill the purpose that you were made for in Christ." And that's vital that we do that here at the mission every day, because folks need to hear that. And I'm going to just share this little quick story here that I had with a person. There's a female that is well known in this community. She's been arrested many a times for prostitution. If you see her, you'll know why, but she hasn't been around in a long time. And it was a couple months back, I think it was, August or maybe October, it's been a while. She came in and she just came in off the street, had a bad night, and I said to her, I said, "Hey, and let's just call her name Denise." That's not her real name, but I said, "Hey, Denise," because she came and asked for a voucher, and I stood there and I said, "Yeah, we'll give you a voucher." I said, "Denise, let me ask you something. When is going to be enough?" And she just looked at me. And she said, "What do you mean, Pastor Tim?" And one of our female volunteers was sitting there and kind of looked up at me and had the same kind of facial expression of, "What do you mean?" I said, "Denise, when is it going to be enough?" I said, "You're out there. You sleep with how many men a night?" I said, "You're using heroin." I said, "When is it going to be enough?" I said, "Denise, how old are you?" She said, "Well, I'm 32. She looked like she was 100. No offense to those out there that are 100 years old. Please don't send me any messages. Send them to Patrick@themartinsburgunionGospelmission.com. But I said, "Denise, all these men that are sleeping with you and paying you, I said, do they ever take you to their homes? Do they ever house you? Do they ever provide for you?" And she goes, "No." I said, "Then when is going to be enough?" I said, "When are you going to turn your life around?" I said, "When are you going to actually make a difference?" And I said, "God did not make you to be trashed on every night. God did not make you to be used by these men. And God did not make you for you to fill up your veins with heroin every night." I said, "God has a purpose and God loves you." And about 2 weeks later, she came back in. She walked up to me. She said, "Pastor Tim," she said, "I just want to let you know I'm going into a rehab." And I said, "Well, that's great." And I hear that a lot, but she actually did. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen her in months. Haven't seen her picture on the arrest log, which we used to see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I'm hoping and praying that wherever she went, that she got the help she need, and that she will turn her life around. That's what we do here every day at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose is to make disciples. That's our purpose. Men, women, everyone that walks through our door, that is our purpose.
And if you would like to help us with that purpose and help us go ahead out in the community and make the disciples to those who are lost, there are several different ways you can do it. We're always looking for volunteers.
Yes.
Volunteers for our kitchen, volunteers for our thrift store, and volunteers for our front desk. The front desk is where you will really get to know the people.
Yes,
here.
You will.
And so if you are interested in that, we've had a lot of groups and a lot of corporations and companies coming in to help in the kitchen, which is absolutely awesome.
We still need help.
Yeah, so you can contact Sharon. All the information will be below. You can contact Sharon there. And then also, thrift store, if you have any retail experience, want to come in and help us stock the shelves and just talk to people. Once again, you will get to know people. These are ministry opportunities. It's not just coming in and serve. These are actual ministry opportunities you can have. Your youth group, your church group, whatever it may be. You can find all the information over on our website, MartinsburgUnionRescueMission.com. If you are interested in donating, also, head to the website, MartinsburgUnionRescueMission.com, and the donate button there is on every page. Every single bit helps, large or small, because as Pastor Tim has said multiple times here, we don't take any government money.
Yes.
And another key component is all of the donations stay local.
Yes, they do.
They stay right here in Martinsburg, in Berkeley County, to help those who are right here in need. And then the simplest way, and we've said this before, and I say it when I give tours to the groups that come in here, come in and eat a meal.
Yeah.
That's one way you can, if you really want to see what we do and get to know the people, just come in, grab a tray, sit down, and eat a meal. Because I think if you do that, you will see the transformation that is going on here in this building at this time. Our continuing needs list is over on our website as well through Amazon and the other list. And the one big need that we are looking for right now, if you happen to know somebody who owns a car dealership, we are looking for a 12-passenger van.
It's very needed.
Yeah, it is very much needed. It is for a multitude of things. I'm not going to sit here and list everything we need it for, but it is a desperate need for us. So if you if your church group is looking to do a large donation or something along those lines, that is one of our big needs, and you can contact myself or Pastor Tim to get more information on that.
Hey, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to be back in a couple days, and we're going to go over our values, our five values here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission that we teach our staff, and then we teach also our men and women here, that what we are as a mission, these are the values we instill in our folks. Thank you so much for your support. Again, we can't thank you enough for your financial support. We can't do what we do without your financial gifts. They're vital. We need your prayers, your protection, your prayers for our men and women and children that come here, that they would have open hearts to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would have open hearts to be part of our discipleship classes, and for protection. Please just pray for safety and protection of all the folks that are involved in here. Thank you so much, and thank you for this time here and joining us. And see you again real soon.
Thanks, everybody. MartinsburgUnionRescueMission.com for all the information and all the ways to get a hold of Pastor Tim, myself, Sharon, and Zoe. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks.